Hello, my name is Lee Iansen, and you're listening to Paragon Skills Candor Conversations, where we have open and honest conversations about the training community at large. Today, I'm joined by Connor Cotton from Not Going to Uni, and we're going to be talking about recruitment and how to attract the right talent for the right role. Thank you for joining us today, Connor.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
No worries. Now, you've worn a few different hats in your career, from a PE technician in a school to a managing director of a leading UK website. Can you tell us a little bit more about your own career journey?
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of, in that comparison, it kind of summarises my career, that it's been a little bit chaotic. Have I ever known what I'm doing at any one time? No. Do I still know what I'm doing? Maybe not, but There's been an element of finding my way as I go, similar to a lot of young people in this country, left school without necessarily understanding exactly what pathway I wanted to go on, probably due to a lack of information from my school life, was pushed down the university route and actually told I had to do my university application, and that was the only route for me. They said, your grades are all right, so you should definitely go to university. That's your pathway. But that didn't feel right to me. So I fell into a role in PE only because I'd done my football FA Level 1 coaching badge. So thought, okay, I'll go down the sporting route, etc. Realised that I was quite money motivated and sport isn't actually a great route for making money unless you scale quite high.
Yeah.
And ended up then falling into a job at Not Going to Uni. When I decided to leave the school, I went on this website called Not Going to Uni, found a job as a digital media sales exec, applied for that, got the job, and as I say, the rest is history. It's been, you know, since then it was 4 to 5 years of getting my head down and working as hard as possible to elevate my career. And by the age of sort of 21, I said to myself, right, I want to run a company. I want to be a business leader, and I want to also change this sector. I knew I wanted to be a business leader in the early careers space because I felt passionately because of my own journey, because I'd been there as a misinformed young person going into the world of work, and actually felt like I had a lot to give, and there was a lot in the sector that I felt like needed to change from a recruitment perspective. And with a stint at SpringPod, which was a startup as well, which was an amazing experience for me because I ultimately got my business MBA at a startup without getting the degree, so to speak, meant that I was in the best stead with my kind of business leader toolkit to take on this challenge of not going to uni.
That is incredible. And you managed to achieve so much in an incredibly short space of time. For those that don't know, what is it that Not Going to Uni does?
Yeah, so historically, we were a job board. We were the first job board in this market, set up around 17 years ago by a guy called Tom, who set it up as a blog because he wasn't going to uni. And at the time, 17 years ago, there was nothing on the market. There was no information. There was no place for you to go if you didn't want to go to uni. So he was blogging his journey.
Yeah.
A guy called Spencer Melman came along and revolutionised that into a job board. And for about 15 years, the business stayed as a job board. Now, you don't need to be a huge business sort of leader or someone who's mega into business to understand you have to innovate. You know,
yeah.
You have to innovate. Industries are always changing with technology, with reforms, et cetera, that you have to... You have to innovate, otherwise you end up getting left behind. So I was brought in to do that, to elevate this business and change the business. And what we've pivoted to now is a recruitment marketing agency specializing in school and college leaver attraction. We don't touch graduates. We don't touch senior hires. We specialize in school and college student space and anything that isn't the traditional go to uni, go into the world of work pathway.
That's incredible. I mean, recruitment problems at the moment are at record highs. Now, with about 76% of companies surveyed struggling to hire new recruits.
Yeah.
Now, you're very, very vocal online about understanding company culture for both yourself and for other businesses. I mean, how would you go about defining a company culture?
It's, do you know what? It's something I want to be really open and honest about this. I think it's, you know, authenticity is important. It's something I'm still discovering. One of the biggest struggles we've had, and because I think it's easier for me to talk about the struggles we've had, is we are a virtual first business. There's elements of our offering, so our creative agency offering is obviously delivered in person, so we need to go on site and film, but the sales team, the customer success team, etc., are all working from home. So what I've had to try and do is cultivate that culture with people in all corners of the country. Which, have I got it there yet? No. Or am I still learning? 100%. And maybe we'll never 100% know, because the world changes, like we said, with innovating companies. What it was important for us to do as a company was introduce little things, making sure we schedule time to get the team together, making sure we introduce specific software as well, things like Slack that make communication when you're virtual and working from home, etc., so easy. Making regular calls in the diary, making sure that I set up the happiness team within Not Going to Uni, and their job is to make sure staff are happy, organising staff meals, rewarding our staff, making sure that our staff feel like they have people to talk to. And there's also further things we're looking at. Training and CPD as well was a big part, you know, ensuring that staff feel cultivated to go and learn. Is there something that you feel is going to propel your career? It may not directly benefit Not Going to Uni, but it's going to take your career to the next level. We will support you. And that could even be things outside of that kind of work, so to speak, and things like mental health first aiders and stuff like this. And they're little things. And like I said, we're still learning. You know, there'll be companies that have a huge list compared to that small amount of things I've mentioned. Like I said, we're not there yet. But slowly but surely, we're getting there. And at the end of the day, I want to create an atmosphere where staff are happy and they go to work, whether that's working from their bedroom or working from their home office or working from the office we have in Essex. Happy. That's the most important thing. And that underpins, from a then a recruitment perspective, that underpins your culture is your biggest asset. At the end of the day, it really makes me happy when I see some of the great things my staff share on things platforms like LinkedIn about the love of their work, etc., because that is your biggest asset. Because people look at that and they go, wow, maybe I want to work there. Maybe I would like a job there. Maybe that is the company for me. Because they see things like that.
For sure. I mean, people underestimate the power of social media. And one of the things that I noticed that you yourself do, that Not Going to Uni does, that I've seen numerous members of your own team do it, is they showcase their successes, and they talk about it with such passion online. It's a brilliant thing to look at online. I'm very lucky to work with a lot of people that do exactly the same sort of thing. And like you said, it's a constantly evolving process. And it leads on to the strength of that employer brand, which is, as you said, it's crucial to any form of recruitment. Would you say that the employer brand is even more important when you're attracting bright young talent?
100%. I think there's when I was talking to someone the other day about this, actually, that employer branding, unfortunately, is still being mega centric towards the big corporates. Go figure, because they have the money to invest in employer branding, staff, etc., which I completely understand. But from your employer brand for a senior hire and your employer brand for a young person who is going into the world of work for the first time is going to be completely different. Because if you're, let's say you're a big accounting or finance employer or a care employer, you'd imagine if you're hiring a 35-year-old person who's worked in the space, they probably know who you are. Yeah. If you're hiring a 17, 18-year-old who's never done a day's work in their life, maybe they've worked in a pub part-time, probably don't know who you are. So there's a big bit of work around actually positioning yourself as the employer of choice for them and actually just educating themselves on who the hell you are. And it's something I think we all don't do enough. Is actually just tell people who we are and what we do. And especially for young people, you know, we go to events and careers fairs, and single biggest question that you hear kids saying is, so what do you do? And that's some of these brands, you know, they'll go up to brands like Jaguar Land Rover. What do you actually do? Because all they see is a car. What do you actually do? You're all stood on this stand. What do you guys actually do? And that shows you, that's the thing we need to educate young people on, is actually, what do you do? What's it like to work there? What does it mean to work there? And what are all those back office functions, etc., that you don't necessarily see as a consumer or as an 18-year-old consumer on TikTok, for example?
Yeah. So with that in mind, I mean, a lot of companies focus on case studies for their clients and that sort of thing. So focusing as well on case studies for your own colleagues around you would be an excellent way of showcasing exactly what the business does, exactly how happy the business are.
You're 100%. And something we're really passionate about is storytelling. At the end of the day, employer brand is storytelling, you know. And that sometimes people see that as a bit almost childlike. Because when you think of storytelling, you think of sitting there with your son or your daughter or whatever and reading a book. But actually, you're telling a story. You're telling a story of what someone does in their job. You're telling a story of what your brand does, etc. And that is, you know, I think the best employers are storytellers, really.
Definitely. I mean, there are so many really strong examples out there of incredible storytellers. Now, you've mentioned there that the importance of attracting that bright young talent into the business itself. Now, there's loads and loads of blogs, articles, all sorts of information out there talking about unconscious bias influencing decision making early on in the recruitment process. When dealing with a younger audience, what would be your advice to avoid unconscious bias?
I think be open. You need to make sure that best way I can describe it is I had a conversation with a major banking client about 3 weeks ago. And if you look for Not Going to Uni's clients, you'll probably realise who it is because it's our biggest banking client, to be honest with you. And they said something really powerful to me, and it's kind of resonated because I've spoke to others about that. They said, we don't want to do things that just benefit the brand. We don't want to do things that only benefit our brand. We want to do things that just help young people. We don't care whether they go in and work for HSBC or even work for our competitors. They know they've got a duty of care as a brand recruiting young people to actually just educate and help young people. So they're going to be doing a big piece of work with us on creating content that just helps young people, whether they work there or not. So they're not being biased to their brand. Yeah. And they're not saying you have to come and work within this brand. What they're saying is actually, we were going to organically get people come through this. We're going to organically get young people through educating them, through supporting them, through giving them the tools and information they need. But actually, there's that bit of ownership and that kind of corporate social responsibility to say, we're doing the right thing because hopefully we're going to prevent things like NEETs, etc. Because young people are going to feel well informed to go into the world of work. And that could be a major competitor, but they're open to that. They're okay with that because they know it is the right thing to do.
Absolutely. And I think people don't appreciate the younger talent out there. It gives them an opportunity to build a career from the starting point, and also embed all your culture, embed all your values into that person, and actually learn from that person as well. I'm going to use this word a lot, I think, during this, but it's incredible. It's a really, really solid sort of process that you built there. Now, as a business, you've built up this great culture. You've put your brand front and center and you're ready to recruit. How do you make sure that candidate's journey is the best that it can be?
I think length of time is really important. We are probably seeing the most emails, messages from young people saying, I haven't heard back. I applied in this month. I've done this. I've done that. I've still not heard back. I've not had any feedback. I've not done this. I've not done that. Or the click-through rate from clicking apply and not going to uni, for example, to actually apply is going down because young people are seeing this huge, huge, huge recruitment process or big application process. And that's just stage one. That could be stage one of 10 steps. And I completely appreciate that there are, you know, if you're joining the Royal Air Force, big client of ours, there's specific things you have to do.
Sure.
But if you're going to apply for the RAF, you're going to know about that, right?
Yeah.
Like you're going to know that there's a process you're going to need to go through. But something I think clients need to be open with when they're getting drop off like that is what is wrong with ourselves? What are we doing that's putting them off? We're in that stage. And it's probably something like length of time, too many pages and so on. Because you've got to think, this is an audience that's so used to instant gratification. We're in a young, instant gratification audience who can get things in the click of their fingers. And you want to be able to give young people instant gratification, because at the end of the day, you are competing with major brands in the consumer space. And that's something you need to remember. You're vying for their attention, right? You're competing against, let's think of a major fast fashion brand, Boohoo, target audience, Gen Z. Gen Z fast fashion. You are competing against them for the same audience time and attention. So if your recruitment span is a bit too long or it puts them off a bit, attention goes straight back into consumer because it's instant gratification. So we need to ensure that we're putting our employer brand out there and our recruitment process out there, thinking of what do those consumer brands do really well? They make it easy. Consumer brands make it easy to buy. We should make it easy to apply. And that will help things like grenades, drop-offs, etc. in the long run.
Absolutely. I mean, I literally recorded a case study about a week and a half ago, and I was talking about, you know, what made you choose Paragon Skills?
Yeah.
And they said that they went through not going to uni, and within a couple of weeks, they were working in the job role.
Yeah. Like,
so, yeah, that's testament to your process.
And that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Make it. I remember when I was in, I did BTEC Level 3 PE. At school, and I remember I did an essay, and on the side of my sort of document, the PE teacher wrote KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah,
has stuck with me ever since. I kid you not, and I say it to so many people, keep it simple, stupid, because we are used to simple things as an audience in this day and age. We're used to simple things. Keep it simple, make it easy, make it simple for young people, for anyone for that matter, to go through that initial stage. And you can then you can do other things, sift them out, assessment centers, et cetera. There's other things you can do, interviews and so on. You don't need to ask for 25 pages of text.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so that lengthy process for recruitment, it's the bane of a lot of people's lives. Now, when it comes to promoting the actual job role itself, that's a slightly different format, because you may need to take a little bit more time when it comes to recruitment. A lot of people, like you say, they want that instant gratification, but you've got to build that brand, you've got to build that culture, and you've got to showcase that before the people are actually starting to apply for those jobs. Now, it's interesting that you mentioned the RAF, because they've got specific requirements. It is going to take a little bit longer to get into a role with someone like that. However, a lot of these young learners don't have the potentially the grades or experience when it comes to taking on a new position. Yeah. What would be your advice to businesses about that flexibility on grades and experience?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've hit a prime example. The Royal Air Force are very open with actually looking at the individual. And I think, look, I'm talking from an area of privilege in my own grades. I was a semi-academic pupil. I got half decent grades. I passed everything. Do you know what I mean? I got a couple of Bs, etc. But actually, when you look at the world of work in this day and age, sometimes it's not necessarily about the grade they got in physics.
Yeah.
If they're not doing a physics-related job. Or it's not necessarily the grade they got in. I know someone who, I won't mention their name, because I don't know if it's public knowledge, but they categorically failed business. And they're now a very, very successful CEO of their own company and making a lot of money. You know, my partner's sister failed law at A-level and is now a solicitor. Prime example, do grades at school necessarily mean she's still going to uni? She still became a first-class solicitor.
Yeah.
You know, they're just two examples. So, look, I understand the maths and English thing, but there's also things we can do to support the maths and English. There's functional skills, et cetera, we can do once they're in the door to support them. But it's that the one thing that I always say, and it's something, like I said, the RAF do really, really well, is they look past just the bit of paper your grades on. What are you like as an individual? What are you like as a team player? What are you like as this? What are you like as that? Because, look, some of the most successful people in the world have almost no qualifications. And look, we don't want we never want to encourage people to flunk their grades because they think, oh, I'll end up like such a bitch. But actually, it's worth actually seeing past those grades and actually in your assessment center process, in that interview process, understanding the individual a bit better.
For sure. I mean, I myself, I was not the most attentive of students. There's a lot of distractions happening within school life. I'm a completely different person now to who I was when I left school at 16. And it took me until the age of 33 to even understand where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. When it comes to getting that information out there in front of potential candidates, is there a specific method of reaching an audience that you guys prefer to use, or what would you say is the best way to reach an audience when it comes to recruitment?
Yeah, so we do a lot of work on social. We have our in-house social agency where we do a lot of work across a multitude of platforms, not just, you know, Facebook, Instagram. We use TikTok, Snapchat, etc., to go and actually target young people and serve them with content, which then leads me to the next bit. It's pointless using social and using platforms to engage young people if your content isn't good, because otherwise you're wasting money. You know, what's the difference between a really great ad content?
Absolutely.
That's long and short. And believe me, we've had almost arguments with clients. No, we don't want to invest in content. We've got this. And you go, it's not going to work for these reasons. No. You know, we've got it. We're going to use it. Ad doesn't work. Goes back to content. The ad set's not going to change. But I promise you, if I go and create a really good ad with my create team and I put it against some core content we've received, promise you our ad will outperform them 10 to 1 because content is king. Young people are used to engaging content. TikTok is a, you know, content-based platform. Be real. I know you can't serve ads on there. Content-based platform. Instagram, content-based platform. So you need to think. They're looking at these fine-tuned bits of content. You need to be able to match that and not chuck in this, you know, stock image video.
Yeah.
That completely goes against the curve of what they're currently engaging with, because they will see through it. Young people are clever. You know, that's what people forget. Young people are really, really, really clever, and they see through ads. They see through stock imagery. They see through stock video. So they know when something is, oh, no, not authentic, not going to engage with that. And that will have a knock-on effect.
Couldn't agree more on that front. The successes that we've had with regards to like recordings when it's a lot more rough, ready, when we've done it through things like Teams, through Zoom and that sort of stuff, when it comes to showcasing a learner who's having their own successes or challenges, have been phenomenal compared to the polished versions of these case studies. So yeah, it's all about that authenticity that a lot of people talk about, but get completely wrong. I mean, you've got to be an authentic business. You've got to champion your values. You've got to showcase who you are, what your culture's like. That's incredible. Now, young people have all sorts of peers around them, and they might be sort of walking into the world of business, as you said, without any experience whatsoever. So how do you look at getting someone like their parents or their peers involved?
What, as in recruiters?
Yeah.
So specific content for parents. I mean, parents are probably your biggest influencing audience behind a young person, you know, bar teachers, because generally when you look at a young person growing up, they've got three lines of influence, right? They've got parents, teachers, and friends. Now, friends might not always be the people you're going to speak to necessarily about your careers. Look, you might tell them, oh, I've applied for this job, etc. I remember doing that. I remember speaking to my friends about it, but they weren't necessarily going to give me advice because they were going through the same journey. They also knew very little. But parents are the people that are going to want to give you advice. And obviously, we're also in a day and age looking at early careers where a lot of parents' views are still quite dated. There is still probably an emphasis on university and the need for university because of the historical context of university equals success, which is a horrible idea, I think. Yeah. It's not true. say that to someone running a business in my early 20s without going to university, it's not true. And so what the best thing an employer, a training provider, an industry leader, anyone in this space can do is create content, create information to educate parents. Poorly educated parents equal poorly educated students. Now, I don't mean in terms of their education. I mean in terms of the advice they give them. If a parent is poorly educated on careers advice or how to help their son or daughter post 18 or post 16, will lead to a poorly educated son or daughter going into the world of work because they haven't been given the right tools, advice, etc., and will probably end up making the wrong decision. May go to university without actually thinking about it and realizing they go elsewhere. May do whatever, going to the wrong career pathway, whatever that may be. Not be able to do their applications because they feel like they haven't got the support network they need. So educate parents. Educate parents as if they're, you know, we've all seen those yellow, you know, the idiot's guides.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that you can buy in Waterstones, and there's almost an idiot's guide for everything. Imagine that's your parent audience. You need to give them an idiot's guide for everything. You know, my mum still doesn't have a clue what I actually do.
Sure.
You know, I've moved out now. I live with my partner, etc. And if I go up to my mum, and I've not seen her for a week, let's say, and I say, "Mum, what do I do day to day?" No idea. No idea.
I'm exactly the same.
You know what? Okay, Mum, I am applying for this new job. How can I help you? And this, no disrespect, I love my mum's bits. I don't know how I can help you, Connor.
Yeah.
Prime example. One use case. I know I'm talking about my own use case, but it's true. You know, it's true. My mum wouldn't know how to help me, and that's fine. I accept that. But you know, this is the thing. We've got to make sure that we are making sure that they do know what to say when little Jimmy comes home and says, "I am going into XYZ." We need to make sure that we are educating them at the end of the day.
I love your example of an idiot's guide to taking on like the parent's guide thing. And I might pick that up with you at a later date on that one.
Oh, 100%. I think there's so much you can do. Look, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. It's very tongue-in-cheek. I get that. But tongue-in-cheek's good.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes I always use the analogy of sometimes you've got to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying parents are idiots. I'm sure there's some students who would love to say that. But you have to think, they don't know. They do not know what they are looking for. They do not know what they need to be saying to their son or daughter. So make it easy for them. Make it really, really easy for them. A bit like your recruitment process. Make it easy for them.
I don't think people understand the scope as well of things like modern apprenticeships. You've got degree apprenticeships out there that you don't have to walk into a university to get. You can go for a complete career pathway from level 2 right the way up to level 7, should you really want to. And not only are you going to be learning on the job, you can get paid for it at the same time. it's a win-win situation. So as a final point on here, I'm a brand spanking new business. I'm looking to recruit. What would your advice be to those businesses that are looking to recruit right now?
I think it all starts with content. We've hammered on about this the whole time. It all starts with content. So what have you got already and where are the gaps? And then use that to create a strong employer brand. Using content to create that strong employer brand, make you a Gen Z employer's brand of choice. Understand your culture as well when you're doing that. Understand the culture within your business. How can you incorporate that into the employer brand and into the content you're pushing out? Involve parents. Make sure that parents are a big part of that attraction strategy. Teachers, careers advisors as well. And think long term, never ever think short term. I think one of the single biggest things, and we're all partial to this in life, I think, is we think short term. We think short term satisfaction, we think short term results. But actually, probably the best thing you could do is think long term. And actually think about what am I going to do? So I need to recruit next week. What am I going to do after that to make sure I'm not in this problem again?
Yeah.
That's the way you need to think. What are the always on things I can do? What are the things I can do that help the industry? What are the things that can ensure that when I when I shut down my laptop after I've done this recruitment for this, you know, role that I'm recruiting for, I know I'm gonna hopefully have a pipeline to never have this problem again. And give feedback to you. Give once you're there, give feedback to those applicants. You know, try and improve that recruitment process where you can, whether it's length of time, whether it's length of questions you're asking them, etc. And last but not least, go where young people are at. Go and mix in the places they're at, TikTok, etc. Go and play in those spaces. You know, you've got a captive audience waiting there for you. Go and play in those spaces to try and capture their attention.
As I've said before, incredible. huge thanks to Connor for being a guest today. I've certainly learned a lot about the recruitment process, and I know that there's plenty of actions that you can all take from this to streamline your own recruitment process. Thanks for listening to Candle Conversations. We hope you've enjoyed our deep dive into recruitment. You can find out more about our partnership at paragonskills.co.uk, or if you're looking to recruit bright young talent, head over to notgoingtouni.co.uk. That's all for this episode. See you next time.